You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Man, I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited too. How are you?
Man, I'm doing really good, man. So was happy to meet you back there in the back. I've been a fan of the Gathering Spot and just your work for quite some time now. So incredibly honored to be here and be able to interview you.
You know, feelings mutual. I appreciate everybody being here this morning. It's early. I heard y'all were out last night too. But no, excited about this conversation, seriously.
All right, so look, let's get into it. So I asked the average person what their definition of the Gathering Spot is. Depending on their familiarity with it, some will say, okay, it's an event space. Others might say, okay, it's a restaurant and bar. Others will say it's a co-working space. As the co-founder, what's the best definition of the Gathering Spot and what it means to community members?
I really appreciate this question. Look, when we started this journey, we had no idea. Honestly, even the name, The Gathering Spot, we didn't know what to call it. So my co-founder and I, we were meeting in my apartment, and we would be like, hey, the spot should have this, the spot should have that, the spot. Like, so one day we were like, well, this thing actually needs a name, and I don't know how we got to The Gathering Spot, but it came out in conversation, and we stuck with it. We've always known, though, that every physical part of the space, event space, restaurant, bar, and workspace, those were just going to be the tools to connect people. And that the business was ultimately going to be about the community of folks there. So by category or definition, the Gathering Spot is a membership community. Youngest member's 21, the oldest is 92. So my actual job every day is to connect real people together, and I do it through dining, so that's why we have a restaurant. I do it through events, that's why we have event space. I do it through work, that's why we have workspace. But the business is about people. Like, I don't wake up any morning trying to figure out the tables and chairs piece of this. I'm focused on if I can get people to meet each other. Yeah. Now almost, I started working on the idea like 10 years ago. I've seen business partners. I've seen investors find their companies. I've seen people strike up friendships. We have TGS marriages, TGS kids. I mean, it's the whole range, right?
Hey, we got to give it up for the marriages.
But truly, I'm going to a wedding in August of two members. Actually, it's an incredible story. A D.C. member met an Atlanta member in L.A. on this trip that we had when we were opening that club, and they're getting married in August.
Man, so that's incredible.
That's my work, though. I'm trying to figure out how we can create context and proximity to know each other better. I'm not honestly that fascinated by the space parts.
Wow, that's incredible. So leaping off of that, most people, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, most people on paper would consider a business like WeWork a competitor to TGS. That being said, at the height of WeWork, they had about a $44 billion valuation, something crazy, huge. And now, unfortunately, they've lost about 99% of that valuation and they filed for bankruptcy late last year, I believe. My curiosity is, so first, when I saw WeWork at their height and I saw where they were at, I was like, man, this is really crazy that they're this big and they're doing these numbers. I couldn't figure out why. Nevertheless, I was sure that there was a reason. But now it's the opposite, where my curiosity is, what is the Gathering Spot doing? What have you done to where the Gathering Spot has not just been surviving, but thriving in the same market and era where a WeWork went from a $44 billion valuation to essentially losing it all?
So WeWork, fastest physical expansion since McDonald's, right? And we were raising capital while they were growing incredibly fast, right? So I was there when it crossed $40 billion in active pitches with folks who was like, well, why you and not that? It goes back to what we were talking about, though. Our business is about people. And with no disrespect, WeWork or any other co-working, that business model fundamentally rests on providing a workspace solution. Like, you need a place to go and get work done. I have a place where you can go and get work done, but the thing that I'm trying to have you think about at the end of the month, end of the year, is did I meet someone? Did I get a piece of information that was helpful to me? We've always felt like pre-COVID, right? I mean, the stress test for the gathering spot, just imagine March of 2020, I remember watching the news and they were like, don't gather.
Literally in the name, they came.
No, they said like, don't gather. Yeah. And I'm a good entrepreneur, so I called my mom. And I was like, Mom, they just said, don't gather. My wife is 36 weeks pregnant at the time. And I'm like, I don't know what this means for us. We went into a room as a team, though, and we said, hey, look, fundamentally, why did we get started with this endeavor? What has this journey been about? It's been about us trying to be helpful to one another, about creating connections. Okay, so the setting may have to change. We can't gather here, but where can we gather and drive value? We put all of our attention there. We actually had some of the highest retention rates during COVID in the business's history. We normally at like 3%, which is very low in our industry. We churned at like 2% during COVID. And the theme of that time was we all we got. That's what we said every time you saw TGS say something. We all we got. And the community is what made the business happen, right? If we were a space business, we didn't have any real value that we would have been able to drive. But yeah, because we were a community business, we had a lot of things to talk about. I mean, we had a daily call at that point where folks would just get on and say an encouraging word. We called it Stay Encouraged. I mean, it was just like, it was us being supportive. So long answer to a short question, but it's okay sometimes that, you know, people will put you in a category that you don't see yourself in. I knew enough about what they were building to talk about it, but always could tell you how what we were building was different.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. So that's actually a perfect segue to this next piece. So most of us that are, whether it's startup founders or aspiring founders, typically people tend to have analysis of paralysis. They have a bit of what they would call perfectionism, where they want to wait until they have all of the pieces together before they launch something within their business. One thing that I really love about TGS is how, despite where you're at business-wise, where the overwhelming majority of people would see you as an amazing success, you have, last time I checked, 3 physical locations, but then you also have non-physical locations as well. So, one, how do those non-physical locations and non-physical city clubs work? And two, what can an aspiring founder or early stage founder learn when it comes to how to prioritize what's a necessity in the business versus what's a novelty? And what I mean by that is, let's say that the physical locations are the novelty, but you have a necessity even in locations, the necessity is being provided even in locations where it's not that.
I think any good entrepreneur has to constantly be thinking about how you can drive additional value to folks. And you've got to reinvent yourself, right? I mean, the greatest way to die in business is to stand still, right? You've got to be constantly thinking about, okay, yeah, yesterday's hit was great, but like, what does tomorrow's really need to be? That conversation for us was in the middle of the pandemic was like, okay, well, we've learned a lot. Right, we haven't been able to gather physically, but like we know that we can do some bit of this community building virtually and in other ways. Yeah. Let's try this in other markets, right? So we went from those 3 physical sites, Atlanta, DC, LA, to New York, Chicago, Detroit, Houston, Charlotte, with a very simple thesis. We think we can drive value for folks in these markets. Let's test it and see. Yeah. It grew. To the ideation piece, though, look, ideas are cheap, and there's 2 things that I try to always remind myself. One, the ideas that we have as entrepreneurs, they're not random. And the world, and a lot of times even friends and family, are going to talk to you about your thing like it's just some random concept. If you're waking up every single day and you can't shake the thing that is like really like driving you, then like there's a reason for that. And you should like listen and be a good steward of what I see as my assignment. Like, this is the work that I'm supposed to be doing. Know, though, that there's never going to be a perfect set of conditions. It's always terrible. Like, it just accept it is always a terrible day in some respect to be an entrepreneur, because there's always going to be some, like, challenge coming your direction, and that's fine. Like, you get to a point where it's like, take a ticket. I mean, at this point, as an entrepreneur, I just stared at my business being closed for months. Any challenge that walks up now, I'm like, okay, cool. Take a ticket right there. Go sit down. And, like, I'll get to it when I get to it. I don't run after, like, if failure is coming, I'll deal with it when I, like, when it's in front of me. But, like, right now, I'm talking to you, right? And so if failure is outside the door, cool. I'll that'll be what it is when I get there. But right now, I've got a shot, right? And as long as I have an opportunity and I'm in the game, that's all I can hope for as an entrepreneur. So there's never going to be perfect conditions, though. You'll never wake up with the perfect amount of money, the perfect team. That's not coming. So just, like, go today. And it's not random. Like, the thing that you're working on, I don't care what all of the folks, even, again, your friends and family are saying, it's not random. Like, when you spend time with real entrepreneurs, that's a loaded term, but, like, but when you spend time with real entrepreneurs and you ask them, like, why are you doing this? And, like, really ask that question. Like, they'll normally give you the surface answer at first. But, like, no, like, really, like, there's a lot of ways to go make a dollar. Like, why are you doing it like this? That thing, that special, right? It comes from something a lot of times. And that's the thing that we've got to be trying to inspire in one another to stay, like, stay good in, because it gets nasty. It's nasty right now.
Very nasty. Man, that's good. Really appreciate that. And that's actually perfect, because the next thing I want to talk about is 2023. Something that many people saw with TGS was the selling. We initially had sold it, and then shortly after you had purchased it. It was all over social media. Everybody had something to say about it. I thought it was really interesting. Nevertheless, when you talk about challenges and things that you go through within business, I mean, you just spoke briefly about the challenge you faced with 2020 and how literally the gathering spot was not allowed to gather, at least in person, and how you were able to overcome that and other challenges you've overcome. What really, how you affected mentally, emotionally last during, whether it was from things on social media or if it was just from the actual stress of everything that was happening internally within the business, what were you dealing with during that time, and how were you able to overcome that or come out of that? And then also, what lesson did you learn from that could help others?
I didn't learn anything that I didn't know about what we were building at TGS. I knew that we had a very powerful community, and I knew that community was always going to express how it felt. And that to me was the most beautiful part. Like, I'm in the community, right? My job every single day is to manage aspects of it, right? But, like, we're talking about people. Yeah. Personally, look, I mean, it's been difficult, right? I mean, the backstory we're talking about, so the business was acquired in 22, technically.
Yeah, I didn't know we wanted to go in the weeds,
no,
so.
It's fine. Yeah. I mean, no, like we have to have family conversations about this stuff openly. There's nothing to, like, not talk about. Yeah. Business was acquired in 22, and we thought it was the best opportunity for us to continue to scale and grow. Yeah. That wasn't the case. And so we reacquired the business in 23. And what I knew the entire time was that, like, again, this isn't a random thing for me, right? Like, I feel like this is the thing that I'm supposed to be doing, at least for this season of my life. And so I just had to, like, march through the process. And it was ugly at times. And, yeah, social media. But, like, what you'll see about even moments like that, y'all, is that it's so – the news cycle is so, so fast. How many folks here actually know what we're talking about right now? It always feels bigger than what it is. Like folks don't even know what we're – like, I mean, yeah, so it was all over social media, but it wasn't. Because, like, we're here with people who are deep in culture, understand what's going on, and they don't know what we're talking about. Right, so I tried to keep that perspective on everything. Like, this too shall pass.
Exactly.
This is not a random thing that I'm doing. We just have to keep taking a step every single day, and we'll get to the place that we need to be. And here I am. We're back on track. I'm working like I never worked before on making TGS successful.
Bro, that's so incredible. That's so incredible here, because oftentimes, I mean, just like you mentioned, whenever something has happened with us, whether personally or in business, it seems like the entire world sometimes is coming at us. And for that perspective, like, I really hope that y'all took in that nugget that he just shared, because many times we'll go through things and it will feel like everyone's coming at us. And I mean, to be at the level and scale of TGS and to still have that mentality of, okay, you know what? This isn't the entire world. This too shall pass. Man, that's really, really incredible. Look, if that wasn't for y'all, that was for me. I needed that. That was beautiful. That was great.
If you're looking to break into tech, scale in your tech career, or get networking, collaboration, resources, and more, I have something huge for you. Tech is the New Black is the largest tech career platform in the world. We've helped over 1,000 people break into six-figure tech careers and even more scale. But now we're taking it even further with our Techpreneur Discord community. This community offers high-level networking and collaboration with tech leaders, tech recruiters, and more through events, private streams, and daily group conversations. And if you're looking to break into tech, we don't just have all of the trainings and resources that you need, but we actually have partnerships with different companies that are hiring from within our community. So no matter your goal and your career, income, or business, the Techpreneur community was made for you. So text us at 404-519-2851 or just hit the link in the description to join.
All right, so responsible scale. So you put out a video that said that TGS would only be accepting 200 new members across the nation each month. Now, most entrepreneurs, they would never imagine limiting their, and I don't want to say limiting the business's growth, but they wouldn't imagine limiting new clients or customers or community members. They would be thinking, man, we're going to take as many as we could possibly get. Let's increase marketing. Let's increase these things. Can you speak to the value of responsible scale? And also, if you can give an example as to what that could look like in other industries.
I think we're in a different season, right? I think that when we started the business, so again, TGS opened in 2016, that season was the biggest, baddest, can you put 10,000 people in the same space and like grow to the highest? We work stuff, right? Like, yeah. Can you grow faster than anybody? I think this season, coming out of a pandemic, in a very tough economic situation, especially for our community, we have to be specific about like intentional conversations. Yeah. And to the point around responsible scale, it's just like, what can we do well, realistically? I have huge ambition about what we can accomplish long term, but this is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Like, I don't have to catch everything. Now, look, the other side of that is you cannot be just, there's people who will say that and like, it's not baby steps every single day that you should be taking. Like, yeah. I'm taking full strides right now, yeah. But I want to make sure that I can get through the rest of the race and do it well. We're spending a lot of time as a team trying to make sure that we're doing the fundamentals of what we do better. And if that requires us to take a step back and put some real governance around how we're going to move, then that's fine. I don't plan to stay there, but I've got to meet this moment, right? And speed will kill you. So will being too slow. So every day as an entrepreneur, I'm trying to figure out how to calibrate that. But I don't care about sharing where I am in that process. And it depends on where you are in your own kind of business life cycle. But look, I mean, you got to go at a pace that makes sense and not be persuaded by especially the way that the stuff is talked about on the internet, because most of those folks are not telling the truth. And that's a whole nother. It's a whole nother discussion.
A lot of them.
I'm going to high 90s percentage of folks on the internet are not telling the truth. And that's sad. Or they're not telling the realities of the business, because like, if you are actually in business, if you are making a payroll, which 96% of black owned companies do not, right? Not a point of critique. That's just where we are. Yeah. If you think about that stat, there's 4% of employee or employer firms out there. Most of the people on the internet, right, if they're all correct, they're in statistically a very, very small pool. Do we all believe that all of them? I don't. I'm sorry. Like, I just, like, the numbers don't make that make sense to me. So it's math at the end of the day, y'all. Like, all these folks can't be telling the truth. And they're doing us a disservice, right, because part of the way that they're framing things is setting our sights way too low. Right, everybody's talking about $100,000. Well, like, respectfully, a company can't scale at 100K, right? And like, no critique. There need to be businesses in our community that are lifestyle, that are like good supplementary income to, like, I'm with it. Yeah. But that's not, those folks shouldn't be coaching to that. And if you ask most of them, have they ever actually been in that war? Most of them have not.
Yeah. Man, that's so real. That is, oh man, I'm loving this conversation so much. Actually, going to the next point is perfect because I actually saw that clip of you on Social Proof Podcast. Shouts out to David Shands. Make sure y'all watch that episode. This is my favorite episode that I saw on Social Proof Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Podcast where you dropped some crazy. I actually left a comment under it and I said, interview more guests like this. Like this, these are the conversations we need. So please make sure y'all check it out. Incredible. So to that point, anybody that's familiar with my brand, I talk a lot about six-figure tech careers, six figures in tech. So there are a lot of people in this room that either now or eventually at some point will be having six-figure careers. We talk about scale, just like the point that you had mentioned where I believe you said 94% of black founded businesses aren't scaling to the point of actually being able to employ and have payroll, especially being able to employ people that look like us. So to the people that are in this room that are thinking, okay, you know what, I'm listening to this conversation. Okay, I'm either in the industry now, I'm going to be in the industry. I know I'm going to be having a six-figure career. I want to have a business or I have a business. How would you advise that they should plot out being able to, whether it's collaborating with others, because again, obviously you're a co-founder, how would you advise that they should consider plotting out being able to collaborate with others or plan to build something for scale and not build something just for lifestyle and flexing online?
One of the things I appreciate about your content is that you are setting the floor, not the ceiling.
Yes.
Right. And I think that like sometimes that misses people. Right. Like you're not talking about the highest potential that folks have. You're actually trying to frame it as like this should be the baseline of where we exist as a community. Well, to do that, like you've got to work backwards. Right. And like you hear people say this. And like, again, I'm not an overly complicated person. I'm from Atlanta. So I'm going to give it to you pretty simply. You got to start with like where you want to actually be.
Yeah.
And then work backwards. I got some great advice when I was starting. I quote back, I was 24, and we got a quote back that was, it was $1 million that it was going to take to build TGS. I needed to raise $1 million. And I remember going to my dad, I was like, they're tripping. $1 million? Like, from where? And he said to me, he was like, look, son, small ideas will keep you small. You have to fight for the best possible version of your idea. I'm like, oh, this is outrageous. Like, went back, son, small ideas will keep you small. You have to fight for the best possible version of your idea. So, like, I kept fighting for the end goal that I knew that we needed to create. The first gathering spot was 25,000 square feet. Like, and folks would say, hey, you know, start small. Take 2,500 square feet. Like, you shouldn't be in the convention center. Go take the little classroom. And it's like, nah, like, we're building a big platform. Like, we've got to go to where we are going to be now. And if we got to grow, like, we got to do that. So, what is my actual ceiling, not my floor, and then just like march that thing back to where you are and then go the other direction, like then walk it back the other way. Yeah. This stuff is not unattainable. It really isn't. I got in trouble a week ago. I put something on the internet that, I don't know, they're mad at me now, but you will find that the vast majority of people, when you get up close and personal, like they're not that impressive. Like you're as capable as what they are. And once you embrace that, truly, getting a six-figure job, like, if you knew all the people that were making six figures every year, you would be, like, it would make you sick.
Every month sometimes.
Yeah, like, if you knew some of those people personally, like, their talent, you would be very surprised that, like, a lot of them are not, they're not bad people, but they're not thing that is so far beyond what you're capable of. So again, that's the floor, it's not the ceiling. And if you walk with that attitude every single day, you'll be at six figures and then there'll be a new floor, right? And the new floor will be like, oh, I can't. It's, when you talk to people who are really wealthy, it's fascinating, like the numbers they'll throw at you casually and be like, I mean, I just couldn't imagine not making $1 million a year. And you're like, but that's, their floor is there. Like they actually can't imagine a life where their lifestyle would be at less than $1 million a year, right? So like, shift your floor.
Man, are y'all enjoying this? Man, bro. Also, man, big shouts out to your father. Big shouts out to Pops.
Absolutely.
Like, father's giving wisdom to sons. That's beautiful.
He could have told me to go the other way. No, it's yeah. And most people do. Like, and again, it's the people close to you. That's the thing that's so hard about this game is that, like, you're not often talking to the public. You're talking to your friend. And you'll give them your idea, and they'll be like, yeah, that's cool. And I know how that energy is just so deflating when you're like, this is the thing that's driving you. Like, you're super passionate about it. You just told somebody about it, and they're like, yeah, bet. Go for it. So, like, you got to guard your heart. But when someone does the opposite, which I hope, like, truly, one of my main goals in life, I have met people where I don't understand their business at all. If I'm being honest, I'm not a technical person. Simple kid from Atlanta. You start talking, like, super tech stuff, I'm like, bet. But the thing that is so super important to me that I try to stay grounded in is that I never want to be a negative part of your story. Like, ever. I never want, like, you to be able, when you're at the highest heights, or even when you doubt, I never want, though, for you to be like, I met Ryan, I told him about my business idea, and he said, okay, bet, and made me feel terrible. And so even when I don't understand it, even frankly when I think it's stupid, I'll be like, look, you're working on this every single day, and I trust that, like, if you're working at it like that, how can I be helpful? And at least, at minimum, I'm just going to be a person in your story that said, go get it.
Yeah.
I believe in you. If we all worked with that attitude, there would be so many more companies that were going out trying stuff. But instead, people were feeling, they get the opposite all the time. They get the, like, bet. So don't show up in people's life like that. Like, pour into them. A lot of times for an entrepreneur that's going through it, you just looking them in the face and saying, I'm really excited to watch this happen. I believe that you can do it. That's the thing that'll get them through the day. And again, as simple as it sounds, I think that's the thing that's going to get a lot of companies to a different place, right? If we just knew, we're pouring confidence into one another instead of all the, like, stupid little comments that we put on the internet putting doubt on what people are doing. Like, you don't know. Like, trust me, you do not know. I work crazy hours. So when you put your little comment, have you ever thought about this? Yes. Yes, I have. I don't think about nothing else. You've been thinking about this for the last, like, 45 seconds. I think about this thing all day long. Like, so respectfully, yes. And that, like, and so no hate in my heart, but, like, don't show up in my life like that right now. I don't need you to be that. Like, be helpful. That's what I actually need. I need help. I don't need you to be, like, you know, as an expert in. Just help. I don't know what your question was anymore. Sorry, I would not think. But, like, people getting wild, especially on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on the internet. Stop writing those comments, too. If you're one of those people that writes those weird comments, stop it. Like, shame on you. Like, have you ever thought about using my 15 years experience? Like, bro, you're 30. You're 15 years of experience doing what? So if we're counting the years of you being an intern and a junior person at the front, like, I got to count all those years? No. Like, just say that you have an idea about something and that you would like to lend that idea to be helpful. And I'll be like, thanks. And instead of, again, you showing up as a negative influence in this journey, you will show up as a positive, which, again, is the only thing that I want you to be able to say. I met him. He was cool. He said, go get it. And he believed in the journey. I know the names of every single person that shows up on the other side of that. We're on camera right now, I'm sure. I know the names of every single person that said no, and especially if it was an ugly no. Wow. And because I'm sorry, like, I there were some people who were trying to take our heart out of it. Yeah. And I don't understand that.
Man, Bro,
I just got hot. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Look, I want this conversation to last so much longer, but we are at time. Ryan, y'all, please give it up for Ryan, the founder of The Gathering Spot. Great. All right, so look, we got some more time. I'm excited. So we got time for questions.
Well, number one, thank you for the awesome presentation. So about that 90% who are inflating, like, you know, their success or numbers online, usually if you call them out, it's like you're going to be branded a hater by a lot of people. So my question is, how can we better communicate so that folks aren't, you know, played, you know, like played out of their money or even like their, you know, lifelong savings, as we've seen recently?
I think there's two different types of folks in this space, right? So there are folks that are just flat out scamming. And those folks, I'm sorry, they can't be protected in that way, because they're hurting people. And they're hurting people that can't afford to be hurt. Right, and that's just unacceptable. If you're taking money from folks that can't afford to lose that money, and you know that, and you know that you can't deliver what you're charging them, we can't allow for that to happen. And that just has to be a conversation that's plain. I'm not going to add any extra sauce to it, but like it just needs to be said like that. Now, there are other people, right, that are just trying to figure out, they're being entrepreneurial. They're just trying to figure out a way to be in the game. And I think at that point, like, we've got to have a private family conversation. Hey, how about you go try this? Get that certification. Go get this experience. You'll be better prepped to go help folks in this space if you knew that. I don't want to shame you or bash you or tweet at you or like that's not helpful, right? But like, and I know deep down a lot of those folks like do want to be helpful. But there's such a thing as expertise. Like there's such a thing as like spending time learning a true discipline. And like we want that to be you. And unfortunately, you're not showing up in that way, right? So in love, I'm telling you that like, as nicely as I can. That's the second group. That first group, though, no mercy. There should be no mercy displayed at all, because they are they're harming us deeply, and they're making what should be floors feel like ceilings, and making people feel terrible that they haven't accomplished things that they haven't even accomplished. I mean, again, I got in trouble a couple weeks ago, but like I asked one of them not too long ago. I was like, hey, look, don't show me those charts that go up and to the right where you're pointing and like circling stuff on the screen. Show me your tax return. Show me the thing that you show the government. Because this should tie out. And it was like, excuse me? No, if this is all about transparency and us just being open about how our businesses are doing, don't show me that chart. And y'all know the chart I'm talking about. Everybody does that thing. I don't know, everybody figured out. You just like start pointing at stuff and be like, I started my business here, and then I went 200%, and then like here, and then like it's like, that's not real life. Like, yeah. Those of us that are in the game know that it doesn't actually happen like that. It's a slow, ugly grind most of the time. So we should be talking to each other about the realities of that, and not like, and then you're gonna charge me for that? No, that's not acceptable. There can't be any mercy for that.
That's fire. That was a great answer. Great question.
Thank you.
Thanks for dropping in gems today. I'm actually a subscriber of the podcast, and I've been to the Gathering Spot in D.C., and it's a phenomenal space. So my question is, and this is kind of personal, but I feel like a lot of other people need to hear this. As we're scaling, right, we're still like the first generations to do things. We're still breaking new grounds, right? And there's not a lot of mentors that are close to us and things. So I want to, and it can be both of you to answer this. I just want to hear who has been a part of your personal board of directors, right? Whether it's just been the advocates, whether it has been your biggest critiquers, and how did you form it?
So every step along the way, I personally have had people where they were where I wanted to be at. And as I've grown and scaled, whether it was the podcast or whether it's been my own personal brand, I've either continued to walk alongside with those people, or many times as you grow and scale, oftentimes, you know, and I'm going to say it, oftentimes God will introduce you to other people that are at the next level or next space where you want to be at. And so the biggest thing for me has been always being open to learning from someone, even if they're in a different space or different industry, and hearing wisdom from how they've done things, and also hearing wisdom from how they've made huge losses, going back to what Ryan said, and mistakes that they might have made that I should make sure that I avoid myself. So that's been the biggest thing for me, is really doing life with people. I mean, that's why one of the huge things I love about The Gathering Spot and their entire purpose is community, is people. And I think we have a lot of cowboys, and I try to my best to not do this, where we're cowboys, where we're basically trying to do everything ourselves, versus we need community and we need to do life with people and have that transparency with one another. I have friends that I've been very open with recently, where this time last year, Tech is a New Black, we were doing about $150,000 a month. Now we're barely scraping $50,000 a month. And I'm like, and our payroll has gotten crazy. And it's having friends and people where we can be transparent and be vulnerable and talk about, okay, I made this mistake. And through those relationships, they can tell you, okay, I made those mistakes as well. This is how you fix things and how you make adjustments. So that's where I'm at.
I don't have a ton to add. Yeah, it's people that are very close to me that I lean on. But the energy, the insights are never from all of the folks that are like doing it. Like I take certain things from them, but like the new stuff, that's always coming from people that are like on the rise. So I'm spending more time trying to figure out who that group is than I am chasing people who like have been on LinkedIn and got all those segments and all the comments. Like that, those folks are not as helpful to me as where the new people are.
Good morning. When I saw, as someone who's building a sustainable business, when I saw the title for this panel, I was really, really excited to hear, and it did not disappoint. So thank you so much. I really respect Ryan when you said things aren't random. And as a designer who runs her own creative studio, when I started out, I would take almost any job because I craved experiences and, you know, need the cash too. So even though the project didn't align with what I actually want to do, I would do it anyway. Would you be able to share with us a time when you were in an experience that may have seemed random, but in hindsight, you learned something valuable?
I promise I'll answer your question. Tell us the name of your business, where you're based.
A Wright & Co., based here in Philadelphia.
The reason why I asked that, y'all, is that like we've got to be intentional about, like, we got to do business with each other, right? So we got to know who's who, right? So if anybody's looking for design work.
Yes, follow me. Thank you.
Do your thing. To your question, I don't know the best way to answer your question. Because you're constantly, like, this is one of those things that you're, like, you've got to toggle between. Taking everything can be, like, you've got to be disciplined. I remember when we first started TGS, we really needed, I mean, it was like a trying to make payroll in a serious way. I would call TK on Mondays and my business partner, and like, how much money do we need to make it to Friday, right? And, like, we lived like that for a long time, years. We weren't paying ourselves anything. And I remember this one time where we had an event come in, and it started out, we host a lot of events at TGS, thousands a year. But this event come in, and it sounded like it was going to be one thing, but as we got closer to the event, they were like, yeah, and so, like, you know, the bottles will come out from over here, and then, like, you know, the streamers, and I was like, oh, hey, what are you, this is like nightclub. And no disrespect to nightclubs, like, that's just not our business. Like, that's not my ministry. I don't know how to do what you're talking about well. And the cash, like, I needed the cash. But I called her and I said, hey, look, if we get branded as a nightclub early on in this thing, I don't think I'll be able to have this conversation for long. So unfortunately, I can't do this event. She's mad at me to this day. Like, if I see her in Atlanta to this day, she does not like the kid. But I had to, right? It just wasn't the right opportunity for us. Now, on the other end, I've taken deals that, like, a little tight, right? So, like, you've really got to constantly be calibrating this, but, like, then there's no real right answer. Just constantly be assessing, does this put me in a good position to exist this time next year and 10 years from now? And if the answer is, like, a hard no, then cut those, like, as fast as you can. But everything else, in the early days, like, you got to hustle. Like, there's entrepreneurs on the other side of this that are too pure with their models and don't want to do... And that can kill you as well.
My question is, like, who did you need to, and how do you find discernment to let go of people, thoughts, your background, parts of your background and how you grew up that no longer serve you to evolve and create that ceiling that y'all are talking about?
I really appreciate the question. And look, I'm not an expert on what I'm about to talk about because... when you're in the war with somebody and you remember like being in a season with them, it's hard to imagine going into another one. You just like that loyalty is important, at least to me. At the same time, what I have been decent at is that I'll look around and like, does our team have the skill set to go accomplish that goal? And I just have to have a tough conversation in love, right? And I think a lot of times the main thing that can be difficult is the timing of it all. right? So it's one thing to walk into a room and say, hey, look, you ain't got it, and like, today's your last day. It's another thing to say, hey, look, this is where we're going in a year, and I don't see in a year this being an opportunity for us together in this current setting. So either some skill sets are going to have to evolve, or we are on the clock now for a year from now to make some changes. So I'm giving you some time to adjust to where I'm saying we have to go. Now, that's not all the time going to be the reality of what you can do, right? But even when you don't have the time, you just have to explain to folks, again, in love, honesty, I really need these skill sets around the table, and unfortunately, you ain't got it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.